All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So a beautiful daf today. So says the Gemara, we left off. Today's daf is Ayin Zayin 77. We are picking up Ayin Vav Amud Beis 76b. And we're actually picking up two lines from the bottom. So remember again, the Gemara was quoting the case. We were trying to figure out about the case of kachin, the case of where I steal a sacrificial animal, under what circumstances can I be chayiv to dalet vehe? Under what circumstances am I chayiv ultimately again for a 4 and 5 time penalty payment? And we were specifically discussing the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now the problem with Rabbi Shimon, not the problem, but the issue with Rabbi Shimon's shita is Rabbi Shimon holds that kol shchita she'ina ru'uya lo shma shchita, that any shchita that you cannot go ahead and consume the animal, ultimately, again, is not considered to be a bona fide, valid shchita. And again, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that if the shchita is not a good shchita, then you're not chayiv dalet vehe, you're not chayiv arba v'chamisha. So we'll say, so we're trying to figure out, in a case where you steal a sacrificial animal, how can you have a shchita ruya? So we saw a number of different opinions. So we saw, again, the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the case is where you're shechting t'mimim b'fnim shalav shem b'ilim, that you're shechting the animal in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, but not for the sake of the owner. So we'll say in that kind of circumstance, so the shchita is a good shchita because it's being done in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, a shchita is kasher even if not done for the sake of the particular owners. That would be the case. Reish Lakish wanted to suggest that it's a case ultimately of shochet v'ali mumin b'chutz, where you are shechting blemished animals ultimately outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which according to Reish Lakish ultimately again would be a bona fide or a valid shechita as well. So then at that point in time, Rabbi Elazar raised two different kashas. And Rabbi Elazar's kashas ultimately again were, who says that shechita is the matir? Zrika is the matir. And according to that was according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, the shaila was, shechita is not the matir ultimately by a blemished animal. Rather, again, pediyah, redemption is the matir by a blemished animal. To which the Gemara answered that Rabbi Elazar forgot two important ideas. What are the two important ideas? That any item that is fit to be redeemed, or I should say any item that is fit for Zrika, that could have been sprinkled, ultimately is as if Zrika occurred. And any item that could have been redeemed, ultimate or has the ability to be redeemed, is as if it's already been redeemed. So we discussed the Zrika part yesterday. We're now picking up Emeretz Hashem with the Pediyah part. So the last two lines, Ayin Vav Amud Beis. V'chala only liftos kepadoi dami. We'll say anything that has the ability to be redeemed is as if it is already redeemed. Now what does that mean? We'll say, now, when we say it's as if it's already been redeemed, so obviously if something's supposed to be redeemed and it hasn't been actually redeemed, then it's not redeemed. What it means is in a halachic sense, once something becomes fit for a particular process, then by definition, on certain levels, it's as if that process has already occurred. So, for example, the Sanya, Rabbi Shimon says, top of Ayin Zayin, Rabbi Shimon, well, not really a top or a bottom, it's just Ayin Zayin, right? So, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Para Netame Tumas Ochlin. So, we'll say, remember again, going back to yesterday's daf, we learned the following interesting idea, which is that an item is only subject to Tumas Ochlin when? When it had a shasa kosher, when it had ultimately a time in which it was fit for consumption. But if the animal was never, if the object was never, if the food item was never fit for consumption, then by definition, again, it is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. So says the Gemara, a para. Para Virashi says, is para aduma, mitame Tumas Ochlin. A para aduma subject to Tumas Ochlin. Why? Why? Now, both saying, I remember again, paraduma subject to masochlin, how could that be? Hoil v'haisla shasa kosher. Because I will say, at a certain point in time, paraduma was fit for consumption. Now, when was paraduma fit for consumption? Look at Rashi again. The havila shasa kosher. Le'echom mishinishkita. The yard de la Torah zochol. Now, both say, there was a time after the para was shechted that technically speaking, it could have been consumed. Now, when was that? Turn the page. Amud Beis. Va'amareish lakish. Reish Lakish says, Omer Hayer Rabbi Shimon, Para Niftis Al Gabi Ma'arachta. So we'll say, so what's the pshat? Meaning, when did Para Aduma have a Shasa Kosher? When did Para Aduma have a time that it was fit for consumption? So Reish Lakish says, maybe Rabbi Shimon, that I will say, a Para Aduma could be redeemed even from on top of the pyre. Ma'arachta is the pyre. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Vamer Reish Lakish, Ezo Shasa Kosher, Haisala. When was the paraduma fit for consumption? He says the Omer Hayyir of Shimon para niftis afilu nishchata ala ma'aracha kimishpat imatsa acheres yafemimenu. Remember again, let's go back for just a moment. So paraduma was not offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Paraduma was actually offered really at Har HaZeisim, right at, not in the cemetery part of Har HaZeisim. Well, now it's the cemetery part of Har HaZeisim. But again, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a spot where they used to offer the paraduma. They know exactly, by the way, where they used to offer the paraduma. You could go there now in Har HaZeisim. It's actually a former monastery. They have a place. They know this because you had to offer the paraduma and a spot on the Har HaZeisim that you could look right into the Har HaBayis. So you can see it's actually quite amazing. I don't know if the place has a name, but they know the spot in this old monastery. Literally, the spot where they have, there's a mikveh right there. It's quite amazing. In any event, the halacha is the following: when you shecht the para aduma, if it turns out, Rabbi Zarek, after you shecht the para aduma, let's say they found that there's another more beautiful para aduma. Found a nicer paraduma. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Lamaisa, you could go ahead and redeem this current paraduma and offer the newer, better, more beautiful paraduma in its stead. Now, if you did, because the chap over here is, the paraduma animal only becomes sanctified, fully sanctified, after it's really ground up into ashes. But Lamaisa, after it was shechted, there is still the ability to redeem it and use another paraduma in its stead. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, let me read the Rashi again. If you found another more beautiful para, therefore, what do you see? You see from here that para aduma has a time that it is permitted for consumption. So we'll say, watch this. So now what we're saying is the following. Now, since para aduma could technically be redeemed, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, it has a shasa kosher. It has a time when, technically speaking, it's fit for consumption. Because it has a time that it's fit for consumption, therefore what? Therefore, it's going to be subject, ultimately, again, to Tumas Ochlin. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, Alma, Kol HaOmed Liftos Kepadoi Dami. Bose, what do you see from here? You see from here that something that can technically be redeemed is as if it has been redeemed. So because Para Aduma could technically be redeemed, even after it was slaughtered on the Mizbeach, therefore that ability to be technically redeemed gives it the status as having been redeemed, which then gives it ultimately again the ability to contract Tumas Ochlin. Fine. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, so now what we've proven is ultimately again those things that are subject to Pidyon, to redemption, it's as if, quote unquote, they've been redeemed. Just like those things that are fit for Zerika, it's as if they've, quote unquote, been sprinkled already. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. So we'll say, let's go back for just a moment. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan didn't say like Reish Lakish. So remember, let's go back. So remember, there's a machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish in trying to understand the case of where you would shecht sacrificial animals without and be chayiv dalid vehei. Right? Trying to figure, and specifically according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that in order to be chayiv dalid vehei, you need a proper shechita. So what's the case of where you could have a proper shechita by a consecrated animal that would then result in dalid vehei? So machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said that what's the case? We just mentioned this before. The case is where I'm shechting the animal inside the Beis HaMikdash, but not for the sake of the particular owner. Okay, I'm shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash, not for the sake of the particular owner. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish wanted to say that it's a case of Baali Mumin, the animal is a blemished sacrifice, that I'm shechting outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan lo Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Reish Lakish. Why not? Dikaboy lo okma lo masnisan afilo betmimin. Because Rabbi Yochanan wanted to go ahead and set up the Mishnah as dealing with a case of unblemished animals, meaning he didn't want to set up the case of the Mishnah of dealing with Baali Mumin. He wanted to deal with ultimately unblemished animals. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Afilo bitmimin, the kosh came of Baali Mumin, bechutz tishnu dechikohu. Shabbos said, meaning Rabbi Yochanan feels like this. I'd like to go ahead and set up the case as dealing with unblemished animals. Because if you could set up a case dealing with unblemished animals, which Rabbeinu say is presumably a higher level of sanctity, it's much easier to find the case ultimately again of blemished animals. El Reish Lakish, my time alone, Rabbi Yochanan. We'll say, why does Reish Lakish not hold of Rabbi Yochanan? Meaning, why does Reish Lakish choose to set up the case of where you're shechting a blemished animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Why not set it up like Rabbi Yochanan, where you're shechting again, you're shechting the animal inside the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the particular owner? Amar Lacha, because the Rabbi Yochanan will say, Reish Lakish will say to you, Utvacho Umacharo. Reish Lakish, I will say, understands that when the Torah speaks about the obligation of Dalad Vehe, of Arba Vechamish, the 4 and 5 time penalty payment, ultimately, again, the Torah uses Lashonav Utvacho Umacharo, which means what? You shecht it and you sell it. Shecht it and you sell it. What do we learn from there? Kol Hecha de Isei Bemechira, Isei Betevicha. We'll see, what that teaches us is that wherever there is an obligation of Mechira, there's an obligation of tevicha. Mostly what that means is, wherever there is the possibility for mechira, there has to be the possibility for tevicha. V'chol heichad de'leisei b'mechira, leisei b'tevicha. And wherever ultimately, again, a sale is impossible, then there is no liability for shechita. In other words, we'll say, what Reish Lakish says is the following. Reish Lakish will say, utuvacho u'macharo is not just telling you two different things that you could do to a stolen animal to create a liability for Dalet Vehe, for Arba Vechavisha, for the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. Rather, what the Torah is doing according to Reish Lakish is linking these two processes. And when the Torah says, utuvacho u'macharo, it's telling you that you're only chayi for one of them when the other one is a possibility. But in any case where either one of these processes is not possible, then what? You will not be chayiv for the performance of the other one either. So what does that mean in this case? What that means over here, says Reish Lakish, is v'chol heicha d'leisei b'mechira lesei b'tvicha v'hani kachin. Let's come to karbanos. When we come to karbanos, right? I go ahead and I steal a sacrificial animal. What's the halacha will say? Can I sell that animal? Could I sell that animal? The answer is no. Why? Hoil dechi mezabin kodshim lohab. Excuse me. Hoil dechi mezabin kodshim lohabi mechira. So you will say, if you try to sell a consecrated animal, what happens? That sale is totally ineffective. Why? Because lamaise again, it belongs to hekdesh. Therefore, I will say the sale itself is ineffective. So because the sale is ineffective, therefore what? Less nu b'tivicha. Therefore, again, I will say, if you shecht such an animal, it won't generate an obligation for dalet or hay either. So we'll say, so Reish Lakish shita is very novel. Reish Lakish is saying the only time that there is an obligation for dalet or hay is when both tevicha and mechira could occur. But if you have a situation where either tevicha or mechira cannot occur, there is no liability for dalet or hay. Therefore, says Reish Lakish, if I were to go ahead and set up this case as a case of where you're shechting the animal bifnim, I'm shechting the animal ultimately again inside the Beis HaMikdash. If I were to set up the case like that, it wouldn't work, and I'll tell you why. Because if you were to try to sell that animal, by definition, such a sale would be ineffective. If the sale's ineffective, then by definition, the shechita also won't generate an obligation of dalet vehe. If the shechita, and again, therefore, Reish Lakish is saying, I don't set up to it. So how does Reish Lakish choose to set it up? Reish Lakish chooses to set up as a case of where a person is shechting Ba'ali Mumin B'chutz. Because we will say, in that case of Ba'ali Mumin, Reish Lakish will say, both Tevicha and Mechira will be possible. So the Gemara goes right there, Va'azul Tamayu, and I will say, both of these opinions, both Reb Shimon, excuse me, both Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan, go according to their reasoning. V'itmar, Hamocher Trefa, we will say, V'divar Reb Shimon. So we will say, if a person sells an animal that is a Trefa, which means an animal, ultimately, again, that will not have a proper shechita. In other words, the animal itself is a trefa. It has some type of trefa, without getting into all technicalities, is an animal that has any kind of condition from which it would die imminently. What the definition of imminently is, it's machlokis as well. So let's say a person sells an animal that's a trefa. So let's remember, a trefa, even if you shecht it, is not going to be fit for consumption. So if a person goes out and sells a trefa, the divrei Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say, what's that halacha according to Rabbi Shimon if a person sells a trefa? Now, why the divrei Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi says over here, shepoter al tevichasa. Remember again, I will say, Rabbi Shimon holds that you're only chayiv for what? You're only chayiv dalet bechamisha for arba v'chamisha, for an animal whose shechita renders the animal fit for consumption. But if you, what happens if you sell a treifa? Remember, a treifa is not fit for consumption. So you're going to be chayiv dalad vehei. Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv. Reish Lakish on our potter. Reish Lakish says you're potter. Rabbi Yochanan, let's analyze this. Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv. Why? Afagav delesei b'tricha, isei b'mechira. Because we also remember again, what's the case over here? The case over here is I'm not shechting the treifa animal. Rather, what am I doing? I'm selling it. So the shayla is a sale of a treifa animal a valid transaction to make you chayiv dalad vehei? To which Rabbi Yochanan would say, yes. Why? Because we all agree that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you shech that animal, you're not going to be chayiv dalad vehei, because remember, it's a shechita she'ena re'uya. But if you sell it, you absolutely will be chayiv dalad vehei. Reish Lakish on Reish Lakish will say pater. Reish Lakish will say, no, you are pater in that case from dalad vehei. Why? Kevan dalesei v'tricha. Let's say b'mechira, because it will say this is Reish Lakish Shita. Reish Lakish says Utvachom Macharo says you're only going to be chayiv dalad behei when both the processes of tevicha and mechira could take place. But if both of them cannot take place, then you will not be chayiv dalad behei. In this case, because it's a treifa, the treifa ultimately again is not subject to shechita. Therefore, by definition, you will not be chayiv for mechira as well. So we'll say you sold this thing machlokis, but again, I want to be clear: this is a machlokis really in Rabbi Shimon. The machlokis is in Rabbi Shimon. That according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that shechita shein ruya lo shma shechita is mechira possible even in a case where they can't have shechita. Rabbi Yochanan will say yes. Reish Lakish will say no. Say esvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan raised the kasha to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Gun of kilayim utavacha treifa mecharas. Let's listen to this case. Let's say a person stole kilayim. Now kilayim, if you look at Rashi, kilayim means a mixed breed animal. What's an example of a mixed breed animal? Rashi says mikivsa v'tayish. For example, let's say you have an animal that was the offspring of a goat and a ewe. So what happens? I go ahead and gun of kilayim. Rashi says mikivsa v'tayish ba ba'af agav dechsid gabe tricha se. So let's read the Gemara first. So gun of kilayim. So we'll say, I steal a mixed breed animal and I shecht it. Or what happens? Or I go ahead and treifa umachra. Or I go ahead and I sell a treifa. I steal a treifa and I sell it. What's the halacha? Meshalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what's the halacha? The Braisa says I have to pay the 4 or 5 time penalty payments. Now, Bosa, now watch this. Says the Gemara, my love, Rabbi Shimoni. Now, whose opinion does this Gemara reflect? Does this not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon? And what do you see, Rabbi Bosa? So specifically, what do you see over here? What did the Brisa just say? That if you sell a treifa animal, you're going to be chayiv arba v'chamisha. What does that show you? My love, Rabbi Shimoni. Alma, afa gav delesei betvicha. What does that show you? Even though the animal is not subject to shechita, why is it not subject to shechita? Because it's treifa, right? Then but yet again, it's still subject to mechira. Amar leilo. He said, no, the price is not Rabbi Shimon, rather, again, Rabbanan. It's Rabbanan. If that's the case, I Rabbanan. Treifa b'mechira isa b'zvicha lasa. Both say, if that's the case, according to the Rabbanan, why does the Braisa only say that if you sell the treifa animal, you're chayiv arba vehei? Both say, according to the Rabbanan, even if you shecht the treifa animal, you're chayiv dalad vehei. Why? Because the Rabbanan do not subscribe to the idea that you need a shechita ru'uya. It's only Rabbi Shimon who says that you need a shechita. According to the Rabbanan, even a shechita she'ena ru'uya will make you chayiv dalad vehei. Ve'elamai, Rabbi Shimon. Rather, you have to say that the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. Because we'll say why. The fact that the Braisa set up the case of where you're going ahead and selling the treifa animal, and it's in the case of the sale that you're going to be chayiv dalad vehei, the only one who would say that only in a case of mechira are you chayiv dalad vehei would be Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that you require a shechita re'uya. So therefore, again, we're back to square one. It must be Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, kilayim b'tevicha isim b'mechira lasa. So we'll say, if that's the case, let's go back to the first part of the Braisa. The Braisa spoke about the fact, I stole a mixed breed animal and I shechted it. The Braisa said, I'm chayiv dalad vehei. Why would it only be chayiv dalad vehei in a case of tevicha? I should be chayiv dalad vehei in a case of mechira as well. Ela tana tevicha v'adil mechira. Rather, we'll have to say the following. When the Braisa said that I am chayiv dalad vehei, when the Braisa said that I am chayiv dalad vehei for going ahead and shechting the kilayim animal. The braisa meant am chayiv dalet vehei for the shechting as well as for the sale of that animal. So says the Gemara, Imal Rabbanan Nami Tana Mechira V'Huad Din L'Tzicha. So we'll say, so why don't you say the same thing then in the second case of the Braisa, where ultimately the Braisa says that I'm selling a treifa animal, say that it means that it's either I'm selling it or I'm shechting it, in which case the Braisa could reflect the view of the Rabbanan as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yochanan will say to you, Hi Mai, what's going on in this case? E Amrit Bishlam Rabbi Shimon, if you want to say the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, then ID the Tana Trefa Bechada, Tani Kilayim Bechada. So we'll say if that's the case, then since the Gemara quoted one possibility by Trefa, it quotes one possibility by Kilayim as well. Look at Rashi, the Tana Trefa Bechada, Dilo Matsi La Aruve Kilayim Utrefa, Ulmisni. Tvicha u'mechira b'tarvayu b'hadadi. The itzrich l'misni treifa b'chada b'mechira v'lo b'tvicha. So you both say, according to Rabbi Shimon, let's go back for just a moment. We have a braisa. The braisa says that what? That if you go ahead and you take a kilayim animal, if you go ahead and you steal a kilayim animal and you shecht it, right? Or if you take a treifa animal and you sell it, you're chayiv arba v'chamisha. So both say, according to Rabbi Shimon, I understand why you have to break up those two cases. Why? Because we'll say, according to Rabbi Shimon, see, the easiest thing would have been to say, if you steal a kilayim animal or a treifa animal, and you shecht or sell those animals, you chayiv arba v'chamisha. Yet that's not how the Braisa phrased itself. The Braisa said that if you go ahead and you steal a kilayim animal and you shecht it, or you steal a treifa animal and you sell it, you are chayiv dalet vehei. Why do you have to break up the cases like that? So says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon, I understand why you need to break up the cases like that. Why? Because you must remember, Rabbi Shimon holds, Shchita she'en ru'uya lo shma shchita. Right? A shchita that's unfit is not a good shchita. And you're only going to be chayiv dalet vehei when there's a proper shchita. Therefore, I will say, if the animal is a treifa, the only way that you'll be chayiv dalet vehei is how? Is if you sell the animal, not if you shecht it. Therefore, again, the Braisa has to phrase the treifa case as a case of mechira and not a case of tvicha. The truth is, by the kilayim case, by the mixed breed case, it doesn't matter. That could be tvicha or mechira. But according to Rabbi Shimon, the treifa case had to be isolated and mentioned on its own with only the possibility of mechira and not the possibility of tvicha. However, so therefore, again, b'shtama Rabbi Shimon, I did the tana treifa bechada, Tani Kilayim Bechadin. Now, both say, now here's what's interesting. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, the Treifa case could have only been quoted as a case of Mechira, not a case of Tavicha. So, why isn't the Kilayim case mentioned by both Tavicha and Mechira? And the answer is, we'll call it Braisa symmetry. That according to Rabbi Shimon, the idea is, since the Braisa only quoted one possibility by what? By Treifa, it quotes one possibility by Kilayim. Just to preserve some level of symmetry. Ella, I amrit rabbanon na'arvinu v'nisninu. But we'll say, according to the rabbanon, so we'll say, the rabbanon don't have any problems. Why don't the rabbanon have any problems, we'll say? Because they hold that even if the animal is a treifa, you can't shecht it, right? And you would be chayiv dalet vehei. Why? Why? Because the rabbanon don't require a shechita re'uya to make you chayiv dalet vehei. If that's the case, according to the rabbanon, the braisa should have been phrased as one unit. And the braisa should have said what? If a person steals either a kilayim animal, mixed breed animal, or a treifa animal, and he slaughters it, or he sells it, he's going to be chayiv dalet vehei. Because again, in the kilayim case, tvicha and mechira is both possible. And according to the rabbanon, even in the treifa case, tvicha and mechira is possible as well. Why? Because the rabbanon don't require a shechita re'uya. Therefore, why don't you write the braisa just as one unit? To which the Gemara says, how should the braisa have written? Ganav kilayim u'treifa, that if a person stole a kilayim or a treifa animal, tvachon u'mecharon, and you shechted it or you sold it, m'shayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Ultimately, again, you would have to pay 4 and 5 times penalty payment. Let the braisa be said like that, to which the Gemara answers, you're right, kasha. That is a good question. So we'll say, it appears that Lamaisa, again, the Braisa reads better according to Rabbi Shimon. Seems to support Rabbi Shimon's idea that in order to be chayiv, you require a shechita re'uya, And therefore, in the case of a treifa animal, the only time you'd be chayiv dalet vehei is when, is lamaisa, again, if you sold it and not if what? Not if you shecht it. Now, I will say parenthetically, remember, Rabbi Yochanan is bringing up this brisa as a kashan who, as a kashan Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish was the one who said that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only time you're going to be chayiv for mechira is when? When will you be chayiv for a sale? Only if tevicha, if slaughtering it is possible. But if tevicha is not possible, then mechira is not chayiv. And now this brisa shares that idea, right? This brisa contradicts that, because the brisa is clearly dealing with the case of treifa, where shechita is not possible, yet, according to Rabbi Shimon, the brisa is saying that if you sold the treifa animal, you will be chayiv ultimately again for arba v'chamisha. So both say two things are happening over here. Number one, we're establishing the brisa like Rabbi Shimon. Number two, Rabbi Yochanan is bringing this as a kasha against Reish Lakish. To which the Gemara says, kilayim. Now let's go back for just a moment. So we'll say, so remember, what the Braisa taught me is the following. If I steal a Kilayim animal, so remember, Kilayim is a mixed breed. According to Rashi, we're talking about over here, a Kivsa and a Tayish, so a goat and a ewe mate, that offspring is called Kilayim. So the Gemara says, so the Braisa said that if I steal a Kilayim animal, and shecht it, I slaughter it, or I sell it, I'm going to be chayiv dalet vehei. The Gemara says, really? Are you chayiv for a Kilayim animal? After all, sexiv. Both sides, the pasuk, when speaking about the obligation for arba v'chamisha, speaks about what? A seh, a sheep. Rabbi say, now the Gemara is suggesting over here, what does seh mean? Va'amar Rava, zeh bana'av. This, Rabbi say, this is a binyan av. Rabbi say, binyan av is a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Kamakom shene emar seh, eno elo lahotzi esakilayim. Whenever the Torah goes out of its way to say seh, seh means what? Rabbi say, a pure breed animal. Right? Sem means an animal that is not a crossbred animal. So what? So therefore, again, ein elo tiyaseh kilayim. So Sem comes to exclude kilayim. So therefore, I will say, how could the Braisa say that I'm chayiv arba v'chamisha for an act of theft and slaughter, an act of theft and sale of a kilayim animal, when Sem teaches me that the animal has to be a pure breed? Shani achad amikra, oh, the rabbi says, kilayim. It's different over here. Why? Because we'll say the pasuk says O. Oh. The pasuk says Shor O Kesef O A. I'm sorry. Shki Nov Ish Shor O Se Utevacho O Mecharo. The O comes to include what? The O comes to include something additional. In this case, the additional inclusion even comes to include Kelayim. So it says the Gemara, is that true? We'll say first white line on the bottom. So Bechol O. Second white line now. Bechol O. L'rabos. We'll say, is that true that anytime the Torah says the word O, O is always comes to exclude, right? Is that true? V'hatanya, we learn, shor o kesev. So we'll say, the pasuk says, a shor o kesev, prat likilayim. But when the pasuk says, this is talking about, again, the idea that you are not permitted to go ahead and offer up an animal as a karban within the first 7 days of its life. So says the Gemara, when the pasuk says, shor o kesev, the O is prat likilayim. That, we'll say, that comes to exclude kilayim. That comes to exclude a crossbred animal. That, we'll say, which means when it comes to exclude, meaning it's not subject to this prohibition. O A's, we'll say, when it says O, the second A's, we'll say, is a goat. Prat linidme. We'll say, that comes to exclude what? Nimra, we'll say, means literally like Rashi says, "Deina dome lo aviv lo imo." It doesn't look like its parents. It's a mutated animal, right? A mutated animal, meaning it bears no. Now, I want to be clear. This is not a crossbred animal. This animal came from the same breed. Just for some reason, it looks dramatically different than its parents. Deina dome lo aviv lo imo shebami al v'rachel v'dome lo eiz. So we'll say so again. It comes to exclude ultimately a nidne. Amrav. So we'll say. So what do you see? Nigma wanted to suggest that the word o comes to include something. Now we're bringing examples that what? The word O actually comes to exclude. So which one is it? Is O an inclusionary word or an exclusionary word? To which the Gemara says, it depends. Amarava, we'll say three lines up from the bottom, ayin zayin with base. Hacham in yana dekrav, hacham in yana dekrav. We'll say in both cases, again, we analyze O through the context of the pasuk. Hacha gabe gneva dechsev shar oseh. So we'll say in the case of the gneva, in the case of theft, with the Torah's lashon of shor oseh, an ox or a sheep, shatayach alahotzi kilayim ibinem. Now, we'll say, now the idea of shor and seh, a shor and a seh cannot mate. Now, this is an interesting idea to know. Rashi says over here that shor oseh can't mate. Why? because the shor and the seh have different gestational periods, right? The shor ultimately has a gestational period of 9 months versus the seh that has a gestational period of 5 months. So therefore, again, the ability for them to crossbreed isn't possible. Therefore, o l'rabos kilayim. Therefore, the o in that pasuk is coming to include what? Is coming to even include other crossbred animals. So the shor and seh, which are two animals that can't crossbreed, the o comes to include ultimately, again, crossbred animals. Gabi kodshim, but also when it comes to kodshim, sacrificial animals, remember, that's the pasuk that talks about shor o kesev o eiz, ki yivaleid, vayah shivas yom tachasimo, tichsiv kesev ve'eiz, shata yochal lohotzi kilayim ve'eiz. So we'll say the pasuk says kesev ve'eiz, where you can crossbreed those animals, o lemait. So we'll say in that case, o comes to exclude crossbred animals from this obligation. So we'll say tapa v'ainches, ayvaha gabi kachim ne'emar shor o kesev. So we'll say, yeah, by kachim, right, by sacrificial animals, it says shor o kesev. She'ein ato yochal lohotzi kilayim ve'eiz. We'll say you can't bring, you can't ultimately, again, create crossbred animals from a shor o kesev. And yet, v'nirbi, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, she'ein ato yochal lohotzi kilayim ve'eiz, v'nirbi. So we'll say, so why don't we go ahead, so using that model, what you seem to be saying is the following. Anytime the Torah uses the word o, and it's the context of two animals that can't crossbreed, so by definition, the o is coming to include crossbred animals in whatever the halacha of that pasuk is. If that's the case, then by kachim, it says Sharo Kasev. So why don't you go ahead and say that the O comes to include crossbred animals as well? To which the Gemara says, Me the Seifa Lemait, because Rabbi say we will say at the end of the day, since the end of that pasuk comes to exclude, look at Rashi, Me the Seifa Lemait, O the Seifa Dekra, Kasef Oez Vade Lemait. So we'll say, since the end of that pasuk, the O there comes to exclude. Therefore, the beginning of the pasuk also is meant to be an exclusionary phrase. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Adarabba, just the opposite. Midereisha l'rabos, seifa nami l'rabos. Why don't we say, just the opposite, why don't you say that the O in the beginning of the pasuk is a riboy? And if the O in the beginning of the pasuk is a riboy, then what? Then the O in the end of the pasuk should be a riboy as well. To which the Gemara says, hi mai. So how do we analyze this? So we'll say, if you want to say that the O in this pasuk by kachim is coming to exclude, I understand why I need two mi'utim. Why do I need two mi'utim? Why do I need two exclusionary phrase? Because I will say one O could come to exclude what? One O could come to exclude kilayim, come to exclude crossbred animals, and the other O comes to exclude what? A mutated animal, a nidme. Eli amrit l'rabos. But I will say, if you say that the O is coming to include things, tre ribuye lamo. Ultimately, again, why would I need two ribuyim in the same pasuk? After all, hashta kilayim irbile nidma miboy. See, Rabbi said, because if you're telling me that the O comes to include what? Comes to include a kilayim animal, Rabbi said, crossbred animal, then it goes without saying that a nidma, a mutated animal, is included as well. So, by the way, when I say mutated animal, sometimes the animal has some kind of deformity. Mutated animal, according to Rashi, just means the animal doesn't look like its parents. So, we'll say, if we're going to say that a kilayim animal, which is a crossbred animal, is included in this obligation of the pasuk in kachim, then it goes without saying that what? That a nidma, a mutated animal, that is a totally fine animal and not crossbred at all, just looks different than the parents, is obviously going to be included as well. Therefore, again, you have to say that the O in that context is coming to exclude and not coming to include. So, we'll stop over here for today, but just to understand again what we are stopping. We're still a little bit mid machlokas. And again, remember, we're still really steeped in the machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, specifically again about the linkage between Tevicha and Mechira. Specifically, again, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you require a Shechita Re'uya. So the fundamental Shaila is that ultimately, again, do we say, what happens when you have a situation where, let's say, Tevicha or Mechira is not possible, is the other process still applicable or not? So, for example, if I have a treifa animal, which I can't shecht, won't yield the proper shechita, is it subject to mechira or not? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So we'll solve that machlokes, or we'll come to resolution in Beretz Hashem in that tomorrow. Rabbi Yochanan asked the kasha and Reish Lakish, and with that, the Gemara just descended into a sub-discussion about the role of the word O in any particular pasuk. And whereas we thought O is either always comes to include or exclude, we now see that how O is used, whether as an inclusionary word or an exclusionary word, depends on the context in which it appears. All right, we'll stop over here.